morning, everybody. So good to see you today. Let's all stand. The song is At Your Name. Here we go.
At Your Name, the mountains shake and crumble. At Your Name, the ocean roar and tumble. At Your Name, angels will sound, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout Your name, oh Lord. At Your name, the morning breaks in glory. At Your name, creation sings Your story. At Your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout Your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout Your name, oh Lord. Jesus whispered sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in the life of hell and foe. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, this my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, this can fill my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken streets, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Instruments are going to play. Turn to your neighbor, smile on your face, and say, good to see you.
Sing the the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. Joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. It's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I was lost in sin, lost in sin, Jesus rescued me. I was lost in sin, Jesus rescued me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Now I'm heaven bound, Jesus set me free. Now I'm heaven bound, Jesus set me free. Now I'm heaven bound, Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free.
To see all of you here this morning. I tell you, we have had a great Sunday school hour already. We got a good group in here for our worship hour. We have return visitors, and we want to welcome you, tell you how much we appreciate you being here. And let me just brag just a little bit on everybody, really. Last week, we had our youth fundraiser, our youth auction. It's an annual deal we do. We had it on Sunday night. And the kids did a fantastic job. There's lots and lots of kids in attendance. They fed us hamburgers, fed us very well. And you guys went to work bidding on items, and were so generous. And so we raised $8,500 for the kids to go to camp. And so that's a big deal. And that's the most we've ever raised. And so we're proud of that, and we're thankful. You guys, again, you donated the items, and then you turned around and bought them back. And you spent a lot of money doing that because it's for a good cause. And so, by the way, we do have youth camp coming up in June. It's a big trip every year. We'll have probably 60 or so plus people on the road going to camp. And if you would like to be a part of that and would like to contribute on your own outside of the auction, what we just did, certainly no pressure, but if you'd like to, it takes $260 to send one kid to camp. And so just so you'll know, we'll send a lot of them, and if you want to help out with that, that'll be great. And otherwise, we're glad you're here this morning. We'll go ahead and ask the blessing and then get right back to our singing. And Gary Sackett, will you lead us, please?
Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. Oh, The song that we're fixing to sing, I bought probably 2 years ago and really wanted to sing it, and there never was really an opportunity. Every time I think, well, I'm going to sing it this week or we'll sing it this week, then something would happen. And so for a year, it just never worked out. And then this week, I thought, you know, this would be a really a good week. And I was watching the Gaithers last night, and they sung this song on the Gaithers. And so I thought, it's the Lord's will that we should sing a song. And so we're going to do it. It's a great song. It says, I speak Jesus. The name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I'd just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn my fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn up the fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Amen. Before we have a word of prayer, I love that song. You can't say the name of Jesus too many times. There's so much power in it. And I was thinking, you'll see my subject here in just a few moments and understand why this is kind of on my mind. How many times, I've been around death for a long time because I'm a pastor, and I know pastors and a lot of people that have been around death as well. And how many times the person that's on their deathbed that was not a Christian, they don't know the Lord. In some cases, they're atheist or whatever the case is, or just refuse to accept Jesus, and in their dying moments call out the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because they're going to face him one way or another, whether you face him as your Savior or whether you face him as your judge. And that can't be man-made right there, folks. That's something somebody's responding as they're leaving this earth. And so that's something to think about. If you'll turn in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the name of Jesus. I tell you, I love that song. It's good. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us together in your house today. We're grateful, God, for the faithfulness of your people. We're so thankful, God, that we have a church that wants to serve you. They want to be together as a church family and worship you on Sunday. And Lord, there'll be many that were unable to be here today, and I understand that. But when people travel, people get sick, people have to work. And I pray your blessings on their day as well. But Father, while we're gathered together, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord God, that you would just help us to just face the subject at hand head on with open minds and with a willingness to listen to your word this morning. Father, we continually ask for rain. We know, Lord God, that you could bring it. Not a few days ago, Lord, the forecasters had it as 100%, and it didn't rain at all. And it just shows how not in control we are. But you are, and you own every drop of it, and you're the one that assigns it and distributes it. No newscaster can do that, as much as we appreciate their efforts. Please bring rain to our nation, our region, rather. Please bring abundance of rain. Give these farmers something to work with, Father, and we're trusting in you for that. And we'll give thanks for every drop of it. Now, time is at hand, Father, so as we open our Bibles, Lord, let us also have open hearts. And I pray your Holy Spirit would lead in the classes in the back with the children, as well as leading in here. And we pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last week I told you that for many years that we as a church, or myself as a pastor, have averaged over 20 funerals or graveside services a year. And of course, not all of them involve our church right here, because I was raised in the Panhandle, and so I'm asked to go back and do funerals at times up there. And also there was a stint there in the middle of my ministry here that I served as a volunteer, or not a volunteer, but it was a stipend involved, but anyway, as a chaplain for a hospice service. And so through that I did many, many funerals. And so there's the results of that are I've done over 500 funerals as far as my records show, and I didn't keep early records well or at all, and so I'm thinking it's probably plus 600, but certainly conservatively 500. And then all of a sudden we get, as I spoke to you last week, we get into 2026, and I've only done four services this year. And so, as I jokingly told you, you guys are just not dying as much as you used to. With all of that being said, the truth of the matter is, though there is a plethora, a variety of statistics out there regarding death that tell you this, that, and the other, really and truly, the death rate does not fluctuate. It does not change. It has not changed since the beginning of time. One in every one person dies. It doesn't change. And where they die, when they die, and what caused the death, that is various. And obviously, from person to person, that's different. But the records show that every person dies. So you say, Brother Chris, you're real encouraging this morning. Well, the truth is, I had a rough night, didn't sleep well, and I want to pass that on to you guys, okay? No, it's not a pleasant subject. We talk about death. It's something that we kind of try to push aside and not deal with. But the reality of it is it's a necessary thing to address. It's something that's real in our life. And if we don't address it, then we wouldn't be prepared for it. Most of us remember the devastation that happened here in the United States on September the 11th, 2001. Even if you were a young kid when it happened, you probably at least have some vague memories of those images on TV of two giant buildings in New York City being struck by passenger jets and falling to the ground, not to mention the other two major catastrophes that happened on that same day. If you were an adult, you very likely can remember the exact place you were the moment you heard about that that tragedy. And I know I was. I was right down where the nursery would be, building a wall that day when my wife called me, and I remember it very distinctly. And so what happened there is we were attacked by an enemy. Such a tragic event. They struck suddenly, swiftly, and very decisively, and they dealt America a tremendous blow that would change us forever. Now, here's the deal. It's not likely that this attack could have been totally avoided. That's not likely, because terrorists are very persistent and they don't go away. But there's no doubt that measures could have been taken by the powers that be to at least limit the devastation. Had they listened to the intelligence and taken the warning signs seriously and proactively responded to those threats, it would have been different, no doubt. The evidence shows that they didn't do that. The intelligence was there, they didn't respond, and they didn't respond to the degree that they could have. And consequently, the strike was made by the enemy, and it was very, very effective, very devastating. But here is a question that should be asked. Why did they fail to prepare? Why didn't they respond to what they were hearing? There's a lot of answers to that question, I'm sure, but one answer is very clear. There was an element of indifference. Indifference. What caused the indifference? It had never happened before. With being a nation at that point, 225 years, and never having a homeland, attack on our homeland even remotely like that, that created a mindset of, it will never happen. It hasn't happened, so it will never happen. But it did. So where am I going with this? How many of you have ever died? I don't think anybody. Zero. None of us have ever died before. We tend to develop a mindset of indifference. It's never happened to us before. And so we dismiss it and don't give thought to it. But the truth of the matter is, if we want to be honest with ourselves today, we have a real enemy, and it's called death. It won't go away. It cannot be ignored. So we should deal with it. Deal with it ahead of time that it doesn't devastate us. Ignoring it, indifference toward it, none of those things will help. Preparation is what helps. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look at verse 25. It says, "For he," that's talking about Jesus, "must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." First, we learn that death is, in fact, an enemy, okay? An enemy that won't go away. Secondly, we learn that it's the last enemy. You and I, unfortunately, as we walk through this earth, are going to have a certain amount of enemies. We would like to honor the Lord and have the right heart towards people and not have enemies. But even if we do it the best we can serving the Lord, there will be some enemies that come up in life nonetheless. However, death will be the last enemy. Once it comes, there will be no more enemies in our life. They will no longer exist. But there's a third thing we find in this text, and I want you to notice. One day, death is going to be destroyed. Now, Jesus has already defeated death. When he rose from the grave, he defeated it. But there will come a time in the end that he will totally abolish death. It will go away. But until then, we have to face it. We have to deal with it. And so before we talk about our preparation and how we deal with it, let me share with you some of our very futile efforts as human beings to ignore death, our attempts to ignore death. One is we think we can silence it. I have many people say to me, Chris, I want you to do my funeral when I die. And as in last week, we did a Sam LeGrand funeral in Canyon, Texas. Sam had me on retainer for 20 years. He says, you're going to do my funeral. And I'd always say the same thing to Sam or anybody else that tells me that. I always say, well, let's don't get in a hurry, you know. And I might say, well, let's don't talk about that right now, you know, politely. How many of you ever heard or maybe said it yourself, oh, Grandma, quit saying that. You'll probably outlive us all. You see, we say those sort of things. Why is it? Because we are trying to ignore the subject. We're trying to avoid talking about death. What do? When we go to the funeral home? We whisper when we go in there. We talk very quietly. Everyone speaks quietly and move slowly, and is just really, really conscientious of being. I don't know what we think we're going to wake the guy up, or I mean, but that's what we do. It's our natural desire to not amplify the subject. For a birth, we shout it from the rooftops, but in death, we hush. We're trying to silence it. Another thing we do in an effort to ignore death is we give it different names. Rather than say, he is dead, we say, so-and-so's passed away. So-and-so is gone. They are no longer with us. They are deceased. They have expired. They've passed. They've gone to be with the Lord. They've left us. They've gone home. We can get very, very creative at trying to soften the blow when it comes to death. Here's one I've heard, and if you've been to a funeral, you've heard me say it before. Here's what I heard one time. He has concluded his human experience. Looks like me, dead. But we're trying to soften the blow. We're giving it another name. Here's another thing we do in our efforts to ignore death. We try to dress it up and make it more presentable. We have funeral directors for this purpose. We pay them money. They handle the body of our loved one, and they make it look as nice as they can, most presentable. We pick out a suit. We pick out a dress for a lady, and they put it on. And when we make our choice of caskets, it's largely based on the appearance of the casket. Someone comes in and does their hair, perhaps their makeup. They even makeup is used in on the men in some cases to make them more presentable. And I'm going to say this right now, don't you let them put makeup on me. Okay? Or lotion. No lotion, okay? I said it 100 times. I've preached for a long time to get hands like this, and I don't want you softening them up with lotion, okay? But that's what we do. We bring flowers. Some services you go to, the grave at the end of the service at the grave, and they pile, I mean, mounds of flowers. We pick out headstones. Beautiful, as much as we can afford. We don't like the ugliness of death. So in many subtle ways, we're trying to dress it up, make it more palatable. But that in no way or form fashion lessens its effects. How about this? We do everything we can to delay death. We put on our seat belts. We drive cars with airbags. We install security systems. We move to safer neighborhoods. We put up smoke detectors. We take our medicine. We go to the doctor. We get checkups and tests done, mammograms, colonoscopies, blood pressure check. We try to exercise and eat right. We look both ways when we cross the street. All of this, each of these things, and many more are subtle attempts to delay death. But despite our efforts, the enemy still is going to strike. Death will come. So rather than attempt to ignore, avoid, or delay death, let's talk about it. It's futile for you and I to try to ignore it. Let's talk about it, and let's be prepared for it. So with that, let's go across the page to, in fact, chapter 15, and go to verse 53. It says, for this corruptible, talking about this body right here that's going to die someday, shall have put on incorruption. That's talking about when you and I get to heaven, and we have a redeemed body. and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O sting of death, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But watch this. What a glorious verse. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This text makes everything very clear regarding death. God doesn't avoid the subject, and he doesn't speak softly about it. He addresses it head on. First, we see that death has a sting to it. Verse 56 says, "The sting of, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" That's verse 55. The sting of death is sin. Sin's our problem, folks. We're all faced with it. God is holy. Our Creator is absolutely perfect. He cannot have sin in His presence. And you and I are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So we're all sinners, whether you realize it or not. That means that you and I, as long as we have sin in our life, are going to be separated from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We've heard that so many times. But notice verse 56, the second part of the verse. The strength of sin is the law. I'm sorry. And yeah, the strength of sin is the law. If you and I were to read our Bible, I hope you read your Bibles. If you were to read the first five books of the Bible, it's called the law. In that, God lays it all out there. And he tells us the things that are against his holiness. Essentially, what would be sin? He defines it. He reveals the things in life that would be a violation to his holiness. Some of the things he mentions there are very evil, as far as murder and things like that. Some other things seem kind of mild. They're like covetousness. And there's a lot of things in between, but they're all a violation of his holiness. We're born with that sin nature to commit those things. We're born with something within to cause us, even at a very young age, though we don't do murderous things as a baby, but we have selfishness, anger. We have a lot of things. That comes natural to us. It's in our nature. And it's those things that keep us from being in the presence of God. He's holy. He can't have sin in his presence. And that means we're apart from him. That's really bad news. To be apart from God's bad news. Because we're eternal beings. We're going to live forever somewhere. Once we leave this world, we're going somewhere forever. And if you and I are separated from God when death comes, that enemy, he's coming. If we're separated from God when he comes, we're going to go into eternity separated from him. Where do you go to be apart from God? It's a place called hell. It's a bad place, folks. If death visits you and I and we've not been forgiven of our sins, then it's hell. And death will have its sting. Death will strike its target when that happens. And it will be destructive. It will not only end our life here, it's very destructive for the body, death in general, for everybody, okay? But when you're not a child of God, it's destructive in the sense that when our life here on earth ends, it will hold us in its grip all the way into eternity. We will be forever apart from God. Death will be victorious. It will win. It will get the last laugh. And that's not at all what you and I want, but here's the good news. We can do something about it. We know we've got an enemy now. We faced it head on. What can we do about it? Can we stop death from coming? No, we can't do that. But we can keep it from winning. We can keep it from having a lasting grip on us. How so? By taking sin out of the equation. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. Romans 5:8 says, "God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You and I can't do anything about our sins on our own. Our best efforts will not keep us from being a sinner to some degree. As hard as we may try, we can't keep from sinning. I don't care who you are. But that's the reason for Jesus, the perfect Son of God. That's why he went to the cross, to atone for those sins. And when we put our faith in him, those sins are forgiven. They're taken away as if they never happened. Notice verse 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. How is the victory received? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death isn't going anywhere, folks. It's going to strike. It's going to happen. And it will either have victory or defeat when it happens. The determining factor, whether we will have a victorious death, be victorious over death, or be defeated by death, is what we did with Jesus, whether he's our Savior or not. If he becomes our Lord and Savior, then the sting of death is removed, the sins are forever taken out of the equation, and death does nothing but simply lead us into eternal presence with God. That's a good thing, folks. That's a really good thing. And as you and I stand right now as Christians, I just went blank, I'm sorry. As Christians, having a relationship with God, our soul and our spirit belongs to him. This body's still wearing out, folks. I know mine doesn't look like it, but some of you guys are falling apart. This thing's wearing out. It's going to crater one of these days. It's going to give up. If it doesn't happen in tragedy or accident, it's going to happen in old age. It's wearing out. But my spirit, and if you're a Christian this morning, and my spirit and my soul and your spirit and your soul belongs to God. So let death come. There's no sting to it for us. The sins are forgiven. And we'll go forever. And ever and ever. The real you and I, the part of you and I that's in here, that animates this body, the part of you and I that lives forever, will be forever in the hands of God. I want you to notice verse 54. The last part of the verse says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Folks, I got to tell you, I don't say this arrogantly or anything. I'm not afraid to die. Now, do I put on my seatbelt? Absolutely. Do I try to stay healthy? Sure I do. And it's within our nature to try to preserve life. God built that into us. Otherwise, we'd walk out in front of a truck or whatever. He knows that. He built it into us to take precautions to preserve life. But beyond those things, I know I belong to Jesus. And I know when I leave here where I'm going. And on my deathbed, I might call out his name, but it's going to be his Lord and Savior. And I know that. You ask me how he know? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I hope you know that this morning. If sin is taken out of the equation, friends, and death has no sting, and death is swallowed up in victory, then it's no longer an enemy that can affect us. Now, God has a plan for you and I to deal with our sins and become his children. He lays it all out there in the Bible. He makes it very clear, start to finish, eternity to eternity. The question is, have you let him carry that plan out in your life? Folks, I'm not one to stand up here and beg and plead and everything else for you to come to Christ. I can invite you to come to Christ, but the only way you'll come to Christ is if you listen to God, not me. And if the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now and saying, yeah, this is something I need to deal with, listen to him. Listen to him. You say, well, I don't want to come forward and get in front of the church and all these things. And that's fine. If you want to come forward, I'll be glad to pray with you. But if not, then say, Brother Chris, I at the end of the services, I want to talk to you. And it's not just me. There's so many mature Christians around here that maybe you feel more comfortable with than me. And they would share with you what it means to accept Jesus. But here's the deal. Death is your enemy. And he will get the victory over you if you don't come to Jesus. You need to know that. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Folks, you can come. You don't have to come for salvation. You may come and just bow before God and praise him for the victory he's already given you. You come for any reason. These altars are open.